Monday, April 19th, another edition of Crunch Time here at your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. Crunch Time presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to schedule your next appointment or learn more at OrthoSensi.com. That is OrthoSensi.com. I'm your host, Double T, Travis there. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful Monday evening. 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation coming your way, as it always does every Monday. And as promised, we do have Dr. Roman Tremba in the house tonight, here representing OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Doctor, how you doing tonight?
Hey, doing good. Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's our pleasure to have you in to talk a little bit more about yourself and the services at OrthoSensi. And we are going to talk about the community partnership here in just a few minutes. I know that's a big thing at OrthoSensi. But first, we want to get to know you a little bit better. What do you specialize in at OrthoSensi?
So I am an orthopedic spine surgeon, and I trained initially in orthopedics, and then I subspecialized in spine surgery. So I actually went out to California and San Francisco, big institution there, complex deformity, minimally invasive surgery center, and learned to do all kinds of procedures. So that was fun for about a year. And then came back here after the training to, again, get back into the community and see if I could try to help some people out.
All right. So are you from around these parts?
I'm actually from New York City, and I came out here, trained in Dayton, and met my wife here, so came back.
All right. That was going to be one of my questions I was going to ask you, is how you kind of, because you're well-traveled with your schooling and where you're from and everything, so I was kind of wondering what brought you to the Eagle Country or Tri-State area, but you just mentioned your wife here.
Yeah. Tried to kind of spread it out, you know, a little bit, try to experience a little bit of everything. You know, I grew up, went to school on the East Coast, and then came to the Midwest. Really love it here. It's awesome. And then, you know, had this great opportunity to be at this big famous center. So I figured, hey, get to be in sunny California for a year and learn something.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, spine surgery, things of that nature is things that you kind of specialize in. Is this something that you always kind of thought about doing? Was this a dream of yours, or did you just kind of stumble into it? How did you kind of come about being who you are today?
So I grew up, you know, in a family of doctors, knew a lot of doctors growing up. So I was always interested in medicine, always liked helping people. So, you know, volunteered from a young age. And then I got introduced to orthopedics, and I said, hey, you know, I can fix broken bones. I can hit things with a hammer and use a drill and work with my hands. So that was always exciting. You know, I loved doing knees and hips and shoulders. And then as I kind of got through the training, I said, hey, you know, here's nerve work, and it's a little bit more sensitive. You know, you still get to do everything else, but it's a little bit more in depth, a little bit more complex, just adds a little level, you know, of excitement there, if you will.
Sure.
And so decided to subspecialize. It kind of lets me do everything else still on the side, but yeah, my primary focus is spine at this point.
I imagine a lot of folks that come to see you are in a lot of discomfort. Is it very gratifying to, you know, help somebody out of that discomfort? Do you get a lot of people coming back saying, thank you so much, I'm feeling so much better? That's got to be an awesome feeling being a doctor.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, especially if you can fix something surgically, you know, if you could find a problem that you can quite literally cut out of somebody, as they say, you know, and you find something either on image or on exam, you know, and that's actually the beauty of being orthopedics and spine trained, is that if you come in, your shoulder hurts, you know, I can look at your shoulder and say, hey, it's coming from your shoulder, or I can look at it and say, hey, maybe it's coming from your neck. And I think that's a big advantage of that orthopedic training, is that you're trained in kind of the whole body, and we have a lot of specialists in the office, so if I say it's your shoulder, not your neck, I look right down the hall and say, hey, look, there's a shoulder guy right there, and we can help you out that way also.
Fantastic. We're talking to Dr. Roman Tremba of OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, located in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state. And you do work from the Lawrenceburg office kind of on a half-and-half basis, is that
so,
correct?
So, yes, I kind of split my time between Cincinnati and Lawrenceburg, and take a lot of call here trying to cover the emergency room, help spread that out as well among the partners. And that's actually a great thing as well. We have someone here basically 24/7. So between myself, you know, Dr. Arrow, Dr. Whistle, and the rest of the group, we cover the emergency room, really try to help out the community. But myself personally, I have affiliations at most of the hospitals in Cincinnati, and I split my time kind of between Lawrenceburg and Cincinnati.
Gotcha. And this is a sports show. We're not going to get too much into sports, but sports injuries are a thing that you guys deal with on a pretty common basis at OrthoSensi. So what are some of the common sports injuries that maybe you deal with Here in Lawrenceburg or even in Cincinnati?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, Lawrenceburg's actually been exciting because there are a lot of high schools in the area and a lot of sports teams. You know, that's one thing I did notice being in the Midwest is people are very into sports at a young age.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? Everybody's kids are involved in like three or four different sports, you know, and you know, football, you hit your head a lot, knees, hips, shoulders, elbows, obviously everything gets hurt. And then actually been seeing a lot of gymnasts and swimmers, they hurt their back. You know, a lot of people, basketball players, they extend their back a lot, do a lot of twisting and turning, and their back hurts. You know, they go into a therapist or somewhere, and they'll say they'll work with them, you know, do their best, but sometimes they just need a little bit more. And that's where they come see me. And actually, there's a lot of problems that are sometimes missed due to, you know, you need some advanced imaging sometimes, and you just need a spine surgeon even to look at it. So that's been very nice to have locally here to be able to provide that.
All right, and I'm going to say this. I'm a golfer, and I have dealt with some back issues at times. I'm hoping that I don't have to see you. Don't take that the wrong way, but I'm going to try to watch my swing this spring and summer.
Even Tiger Woods had a back fusion. So.
Yep. And I'm nowhere near the caliber of him, so maybe I don't have to worry about that. But anyways, moving on here, we wanted to talk a little bit more about the partnership between OrthoCincy and the community and a little bit with St. E. Dearborn here locally.
So actually, I think that's been a great partnership lately, and I think it's even progressed further when St. East took over. You know, I think we're bringing a lot more subspecialists to Lawrenceburg and really trying to provide that access here that's been limited for a long time. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier, we are here 24/7, so we cover the emergency room. You know, I'm here. I was here on the weekend seeing patients in the hospital. You know, I saw some knees, saw some backs, and if anybody needs to be seen, you know, they call. And you get to see a specialist. You know, you see a knee doctor, you see a surgeon, and you see him in the hospital, you see him in the emergency room.
And one kind of final thing to wrap it all up, if somebody is feeling that discomfort, has an issue, what is a great reason that they should come to OrthoCincy and see you?
So I think any reason that you feel is important to you, you know, it's kind of not up to me to decide, you know, what hurts you or what's important for you. I feel like if you feel like there's something wrong, then you should have the right to come see anybody you want about it and to speak to somebody. And again, that's another thing that's perfect about this partnership is that we are trying to bring the services here locally to Lawrenceburg. So, you know, any surgery that we can do locally so people don't have to travel. I know sometimes transportation's an issue, you know, like family members are working. It's sometimes difficult to get to Cincinnati. So if there's something we can do locally, then absolutely. And if there's something that we need to go to Cincinnati for, then we will. We've got all the latest technology, you know, the custom implants, navigation, the robotics, the computers. We've got it all. And a lot of our guys are, you know, younger. We're trained on all the newest technologies. So I think it's going to be great. You know, we take walk-ins. If there's an emergency, you can call our office. We can schedule online. Really easy to get in to see one of us. There's rarely a wait. And, you know, if there is, then you call and you say, hey, I'm hurting, I've got a problem. We usually try to get you in much quicker.
Well, I was going to ask about the appointments, but you just covered it up there. So anything else you want to add about OrthoCincy?
Awesome that just we're growing, you know, and we're really trying to be more of a local group. And I know we're a big, you know, institutionalized at this point. Like we've got Cincinnati presence, Kentucky presence, Indiana presence. But I think it's important to know that we're here, you know, and we're here 24/7. And it's not like once a month, you know, somebody's always here. So if there's a problem, we'll get you in and we'll get it taken care of.
Well, we appreciate you being here and appreciate all that you do for the community. We're certainly thankful to have OrthoCincy sponsoring Crunch Time so that I can get out here and flap my gums about sports every Monday evening. And appreciate you taking the time here on this Monday. You did a fantastic job.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having us and you have a good evening.
All right. You do the same. And that is Dr. Roman Trembo with OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. And well, we've had Dr. Auer and Dr. Whistle on. Maybe we'll bring them all back at one time. That might be hard to schedule, but we'll see if we can get something in the works. And we certainly appreciate, like I said, the sponsorship for Crunch Time. And we are going to jump into our Crunch Time headlines here tonight. A lot of stuff going on here in the local community in terms of high school sports, a lot of standouts here locally. And we're going to start out in St. Leon with the East Central Trojans. Got to give another big congratulations to Briar Hall, who is going to be wrestling at the Ohio State University. And this is just an amazing accomplishment for Briar as he's coming off a state championship at 170 pounds, went undefeated this past season as a senior, and was number one from the start to the finish as he just had an tremendous year, and rose through the ranks pretty quietly because there wasn't a whole lot of chatter about where he might end up at the college level. Now, we haven't, it's been since, you know, probably, what, 3 years now since Mason Paris committed to the University of Michigan, went on to be the national runner-up this past year. So this area of the world has produced a lot of big time wrestlers, and Briar Hall is just the latest, who's going to go up to Columbus, Ohio, and try to kind of follow in the footsteps of Mason Paris. It'd be interesting to talk to Briar to see if Mason has had any influence on his wrestling career, but Briar Hall is paving a path for his own. We don't want to compare or draw parallels too much. At the state championship earlier this year, he became one of nine wrestlers in state history to pin all four of his opponents at the state championship. So not only did he go undefeated, was ranked number one all season, he did it in dominant fashion, and he is going to go on to Ohio State, where he is expected to wrestle at 174 pounds. So I think we can probably get him some food at some of these great local restaurants. There's some out there. Let's get him a pizza or something out at Make a Mia in St. Leon, and we can probably get a couple pounds on him before he even gets up to Columbus. But fantastic high school career from Briar Hall, and we are certainly going to be keeping our eyes on him as he moves up to Ohio State and hopefully does some big things. I was looking at the roster the other day. It does look like they have a couple of individuals that are returning at that 174-pound weight class. So who knows if Briar Hall will make an immediate impact as a freshman. We certainly hope that he gets a chance to get on the mat and see what he can do at the college level. At the very least, he is going to provide great competition for those individuals already on the roster that might get more opportunities. But his day is going to come for sure. You go to Ohio State for any sport, you are certainly very, very talented at what you do. And speaking of that program in general, they are one of the best in the nation. So this is nothing to snuff about. Ohio State finished ninth at the NCAA championships in March. So a fantastic program getting a fantastic young man who just went undefeated and ran roughshod over the 170-pound division in Indiana. So good luck to you, Briar Hall, as you head on to Ohio State University. One of his classmates, same last name, I don't think they're any relation. Somebody can correct me on that at a later date if they are, but East Central senior Kyra Hall, also going to be continuing her athletic and academic career at the collegiate level, and she will be attending one of the top swimming programs in all of Division II, announcing today her commitment to the University of Indianapolis. And if you haven't followed along with Kyra Hall's high school career, she has had a tremendous high school career, making it to the IHSAA state finals on three occasions, including a 13th place finish in the 100 backstroke earlier this year. So very decorated as a high school swimmer, a three-time sectional champion, twice winning the 100 backstroke and once in the 100 butterfly. She's been on the all-conference team all four of her years at East Central, and shared the EIAC MVP as a sophomore, junior, and senior. And, team she's going to, much like talking with Briar Hall, this team at University of Indianapolis just finished third at the D2 championship. So this is going to be a program that that Kyra's going to, that has an opportunity for her to swim at that D2 championship level and perhaps do some big things there at the college level like she did in high school. And apparently she's going to be studying athletic training at UIND, so already has an idea of what she might want to be after college. So again, congratulations to Kyra Hall. We've said her name a lot over the years with all of her accomplishments at the high school level, and I'm sure her name will be popping up again over the next 4 years as she's certain to do some fantastic things at the college level. One more commitment to get to on this Monday evening as you're listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority here in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state. Visit them online at orthocincy.com. A South Dearborn football star heading off to college, and not going to be too far from home. Andy Daugherty is going to be taking his brains and brawn to Franklin College, and there is a reason I said that. Andy has a 4.0 GPA, so obviously getting it done in the classroom, and is a member of the Ultimate Night Club, which is for his abilities in the weight room. And if you take a look at the picture of his signing over at EagleCountryOnline.com, he's busting through the hoodie that he's wearing. definitely a big kid, a strong kid, a smart kid, and playing on the offensive line. That's some good attributes to have. And he's a three-year letterman for Rand Ballard's South Dearborn Knights, won numerous awards on the field, off the field. Just this past year in 2020 was one of seven Knights named to the IFCA Academic All-State team. And as he goes on to Franklin, he is going to join a roster that features players from Milan, Greensburg, and Rushville. So there might be a few familiar faces for Andy to get him acclimated at Franklin College. But again, that's not too far of a trip, and it looks like he's going to have some family members making the trek to see him play in college. So congratulations, Andy. Good luck at Franklin. All right, moving on, let's get into some baseball talk here. There has been a lot of no-hitters here in recent memory, and by a lot, I mean more than one. And we have to start with one that happened a couple weeks ago, and this is something that is straight out of a movie script. And this came to life at Dixie Heights High School over in Northern Kentucky. A young man by the name of Walker Smallwood taking the mound for the first time since recovering from cancer, and in his first game on the mound, a no-hit performance in a 7-0 win over Villa Madonna. Not only did he complete the no-hitter, but he struck out 19 batters, tying a school record set back in 2017. So just imagine being a young man, 16, 17 years old, going through cancer. It's a terrible, terrible disease that far too many of us are impacted by. And to have that happen to you at a young age, being able to battle through it, get back on the diamond, play a game that you love, and then go out there and perform the way he did. Like, I'm sure Walker Smallwood never maybe even imagine that he would pitch in a game ever again. And maybe in his head, as he was thinking about getting back on the field, he might have been thinking, hey, I might be able to throw 2, 3, 4 innings, you know, help my team, you know, do what I can. And then he goes out there and tosses 7 innings, throws a no-hitter, and strikes out 19 batters. Unbelievable story, something that could definitely be made into a movie, and I would definitely watch it. So we hope that Walker Smallwood continues to do great on the mound, continues to do great with his health, and can go on and do some great things later in life as well. So really cool stuff there. And that wasn't the only no-hitter that happened here in recent memory. We'll go back to April 13th, just a handful of days ago. Lawrenceburg Tigers pitcher Evan Lowmiller threw a no-hitter in the JV game versus South Dearborn. I don't care what level of play it is. If you don't give up a hit, you better celebrate it, take the ball home, and keep it forever. On April 14th, the night after, Switzerland County's Lily Sparks, who's been having a fantastic year, by the way, tossed a no-hitter in an 8-0 win over Milan. 19 strikeouts. There's that number coming up again. And if she hadn't hit Maggie Schmidt with a pitch, who knows, Lily Sparks might have went on to have a perfect game that night. But nonetheless, 19 Ks, no-hitter. That's one for the ages. On April 16th, just a couple days later, well, you guessed it, Lily Sparks completing a 5-inning no-hitter in a 24-0 rout of Shaw Memorial. Also had 5 hits and 5 ribbies in that game. And I tell you what, Switzerland County, they are on a tear in softball right now. Jessica Duvall, Nora Hankins, with Lily Sparks kind of leading the way. Those are the three names that continue to pop up and kind of show out a little bit in the stat box as they are off to a fantastic start. And then to get away from the good pitching, we want to see some good hitting here in the area as well. The East Central Lady Trojans over the weekend. It's always nice when EC beats Columbus North. I know they love that up in St. Leon. 20-9 the final score on Saturday. 5 home runs for the Lady Trojans. Megan Kenser, Natalie Schnell, Lexi Hatmaker, Lindsay Henson, and Emma Ertle doing the damage from the plate in a nice win against Columbus North. As we continue talking about baseball here on Crunch Time, it is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Another big thanks to Dr. Roman Tremba for stopping by. He is a spine specialist at OrthoSensi in Lawrenceburg and also works out of the Kenwood office and performs necessary surgeries at St. Elizabeth Dearborn as well as major hospitals in Ohio and Kentucky. Make sure you're learning more about all the services at OrthoSensi at OrthoSensi.com. But yes, baseball is a big topic here tonight, and Oldenburg Academy has made some team history as for the first time in program history, the Twisters are ranked number one in the Indiana High School Baseball Coaches Association regular season poll, receiving 146 votes this week to earn the top spot over Southwestern Shelbyville. Twisters are off to a 6-2 start. South Dearborn did get them over the weekend, 2-1 on a Nolan McLean, walk-off hit in the eighth inning. But Oldenburg Academy still off to a great start. They're going to welcome in Union County for a doubleheader on Saturday. But being number one, that is a great accomplishment for the Twisters, first time in program history. And if we're talking about area teams that are ranked, Franklin County in 3A, ranked number seven. So I think they're 7-2 to start the season. There's some good baseball being played out there in Brookville, that's for sure. All right, to kind of get away from baseball, this is a topic that maybe we don't always hit on here on Crunch Time, but a local dance team, well, they need a bigger trophy case as the East Central Junior and Senior Dance Teams recently winning the National Grand Champions at the Showcase America Unlimited National Championship. This was not this past Saturday, but the Saturday before. The junior team, that's dancers in grades 7 through 9. They competed in four categories. They finished first in three of those categories, took second in the fourth. The EC senior team, which is sophomores through seniors, also competing in four categories with the exact same finish. They finished first in three, second in the fourth. And for the different age groups, they actually had the top 15 routines that were entered into the best of the best competition, and EC's junior team's palm routine was actually awarded the gold medal at this event. And this is just pretty awesome that these teams went out there and both won, and they both won for the second time around, back-to-back national champs. That's pretty cool stuff, and not something you hear every day. If you want to read more up on that story or anything else that I've talked about thus far here on Crunch Time, you can head over to EagleCountryOnline.com. But a big congratulations to the EC junior and senior dance teams winning the national title. That's awesome. Looking ahead to next week's show, we do want to remind folks that the South Dearborn High School esports team, yes, that is right, their esports team, going to be coming through for the first time on Crunch Time. And this is a program that just started at the beginning of the spring, and they have been blazing a trail in the esports world. The last I checked, they were still undefeated, specifically in Rocket League. They do play four different games. We're going to catch up with a few of the members of the esports team and their director. This is going to be a lot of fun. I grew up playing video games. I still play them to this day. I think it is unbelievably cool that this is a high school program and that this is a team sport. I think I probably would have jumped on board with the esports if they would have had it when I was in high school. But of course, we would have been playing on, I don't know, like a PlayStation 2. Things have advanced very, very much since my days at Lawrenceburg High School. But looking forward to kind of getting a new voice here on Crunch Time talking esports. It's going to be an interesting conversation, and can't wait for that one coming up next Monday, 6 to 6:30. So let me pause for a second here. I got to take a drink of the H2O. Thank you for letting me do that. It is kind of tough to talk for 30 straight minutes, if anybody was wondering out there, but it is a lot of fun here. This is Crunch Time presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. And yes, the bulk of our show is dedicated to high school sports. But this time of year in the spring, I can't help myself. I got to talk a little bit about the pro teams out there in Cincinnati, and especially when the Cincinnati Reds are in first place in the National League Central through the first five series of the season. And they are 9-6, hold a one-game lead over the Milwaukee Brewers going into tomorrow night's series with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And the Reds have won 3 out of 5 series so far this year. They did lose 2 on the road to the aforementioned Diamondbacks and the San Francisco Giants, but returned home over the weekend, took 2 of 3 from the Indians. And I talked a little bit on air earlier this afternoon about the game on Saturday, because they blew out the Indians on Friday. Coming back on Saturday, they trailed 2-1 late in this game. Jesse Winker's at the plate. There's 2 outs, there's 2 strikes. Down to their last strike, Jesse Winker finds a way to single home the tying run. They go into extra innings, which they do start with a runner on second base now in extra innings. They're able to get through the top half of the inning without giving up any runs to the Indians. Come out in the bottom of the 10th, and Tyler Stevenson comes up and hits the ball to right center field over the head of the right fielder and knocks in the game-winning run. These are the type of games that good teams win. And when we get to the end of the season and the Reds maybe make the playoffs, we might look back on a game like this and say, that's one of the reasons they made it to where they're at right now, because they were able to grind out those one-run wins, which is something they have not been good at doing over the past few years. So this team has been a lot of fun to watch thus far. They have a lot of character. They play with a lot of flair. They're hitting the ball much better this season than they did last year. They're fourth in team batting average at .264. They batted .212 as a team last year. That was dead last. They're second in home runs thus far with 24, tied for first in RBIs with 86, and they have the ninth fewest strikeouts so far, which is meaning they're putting the ball in play. And this is something I actually talked about in previous weeks on this show, as they have a new approach at the plate. Last year, it just seemed like the only time that they ever scored was when they hit a home run. This year, hitting line drives, sometimes those balls are going out of the park for home runs, but they are manufacturing more runs, and that is another sign of a good team. Now, it is going to be a little bit of a challenging week for the Cincinnati Reds. Nick Castellanos had appealed his suspension from the first series of the year, where he kind of incited a shoving match between the Reds and the Cardinals. The league did uphold that suspension. So Nick Castellanos will be out tomorrow and Wednesday for the first two games against the Diamondbacks. The Reds have also been missing Mike Moustakas. So you take two good bats out of the lineup. Going to be a little bit tougher for the Reds to maybe manufacture runs against the Diamondbacks. They will send Luis Castillo to the mound tomorrow evening for game one of that series. And while we're talking about the Reds, I got to mention Jay Bruce, who has retired as he was entering his 14th season in the MLB, was playing with the Yankees, and he cited underperformance as the reason for his retirement. He hasn't batted over .223 in six seasons. He's only a career .244 hitter, but Jay has really not produced much since he moved away from Cincinnati. He did enjoy his best years as a Red, spent the first nine seasons of his career here in Cincinnati. He was a two-time All-Star, perennial 25-30 home run guy. I think everyone will remember and will say this is their favorite Jay Bruce moment, the walk-off home run in September of 2010 off Tim Bierdeck. I will never forget the name of Tim Bierdeck, and lefty on lefty, Bruce sends one out to center field and sends the Reds to the playoffs. They were National League champs on that walk-off. I'll never forget it. I was still in school down at Evansville, and me and a few buddies, we might have popped a bottle of champagne that night. It was one of the wildest things I had seen as a Reds fan, because I was born in 86. I don't really remember the 1990 World Series, so that might have actually been the best moment that I can remember in Reds history, at least in the history of me being alive. But Jay Bruce, what a career it was. Came up as the number one overall prospect. Ranks eighth in home runs as a Red with .233. That's ahead of Griffey Jr., Eric Davis, but behind Johnny Bench, who has the most, Frank Robinson, Joey Votto, and Adam Dunn, to name a few. But another Jay Bruce memory that I'll share very quickly here is one I will never forget. I was very excited about him being a Cincinnati Red, the number one prospect. You heard all this hype and buzz about Jay Bruce, and on a particular night, he comes up. Me and my brother say we're going to go down to downtown Cincinnati. We're going to be there for Jay Bruce's first game. We scalped some tickets out front. The guy told us he was Jay's agent. He was going to send us a signed baseball. We got kind of taken on that. But got some good seats down behind the Reds dugout on the first baseline. And as they introduced the team, Jay Bruce ran out on the field all by his lonesome, because he was tricked by Ken Griffey Jr. and Adam Dunn, who were laughing hysterically on the top step of the dugout as Jay Bruce ran out onto the field all by himself in his first major league game. Jay would go on to reach base in every at bat he had that night, showing that he was going to be a big time player for the Reds, and he was one of my all time favorites. So congratulations to Jay Bruce on a fantastic career, and thank you for nine great seasons with the Cincinnati Reds, making five playoff appearances, by the way. Moving on, got to talk a little Cincinnati Bengals here real quick. They unveiled new jerseys today. That's about time. They have been wearing the same jerseys for such a long time, back to the Carson Palmer and Chad Johnson days. And those jerseys just... when you look at them, you just think losers. That's kind of the way I look at it. And they needed a new fresh start. I'm not saying that because they have new jerseys, they're going to go make the playoffs this season, but they just need to kind of start from scratch and start over, because the stigma of the Cincinnati Bengals kind of stinks. And this is a team that I believe can be very, very good in the near future with a franchise quarterback like Joe Burrow and some of the weapons they put around him. And it's just nice to see the new clean look as well. They got seven or eight combinations. I think they're very sharp. again, it's just jerseys. It doesn't really matter what they wear. We want to see them get the win. But I do think they upgraded there in their jerseys. They're going to look to upgrade the NFL draft, which is a week from Thursday. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, I am Team Ja'Marr Chase with the fifth pick. Yes, I know the Bengals still need help on their offensive line, and they could take Penei Sewell out of Oregon, who is the consensus top tackle in the draft. He could play guard. Somebody else could play guard. Whatever it is, I'd be okay if they draft Penei Sewell. I'm just not sold on him in particular. So Ja'Marr Chase, who I believe is the top wide receiver in the draft, he has a rapport with Joe Burrow. This guy is a freak of nature. He's a downfield threat that the Bengals do not have. Some people are comparing him to like a Julio Jones. He's not as tall, but he's got that type of athleticism. And I just think drafting Ja'Marr Chase number 5 gets you the best player available at that pick. And then they can address offensive line at the top of the second round. You can still get a very good player in what has been deemed a very deep offensive line draft. So I won't go any further on that. Want to get to one more thing before we wrap up here, and that is FC Cincinnati. Back in action, third year in the MLS. They started up over the weekend down in Nashville. And man, they got off to a hot start. 15 minutes into the game, they're up 2-0. Their two big signings, Luciano Acosta and Brenner, both scoring. So paying dividends early on in their FC Cincinnati career. But after that, it was all Nashville. They got a goal back in the first half, and then they dominated the second half. They did score the eventual tying goal, which was an amazing goal. Nothing that Teton, the keeper, could do about it. But Nashville outplaying FC Cincinnati for a good majority of that game. And FC Cincinnati probably lucky to come away with a point in the game, but they did show more creative flashes going forward, getting into the final third in that first half, but they still got some deficiencies on the defensive end. Probably need a couple different center backs in the back to really shore up things, but this is a team that I think is going to improve as the season goes on, and I do not believe that they will finish dead last this year like they have the first two seasons in the MLS. But they will be on the road again at NYCFC on Saturday. It'll be one 1 o'clock matchup. They got another road game before they come back for the home opener at the brand new West End Stadium on Sunday, May 16th versus Inter Miami. So with that, that's going to round out our show here tonight. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state. Another big thanks to Dr. Roman Tremba for stopping by tonight. Make sure you're heading over to orthosensi.com to learn about all of their services. And make sure you're tuning in next Monday. The South Dearborn High School eSports team will be welcomed into the studio 6 to 6:30 right here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3.